From the First West Bank, a division of Old National Bank State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSAG HD2, Chicago.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Swing and a miss, strike three. That was a backup slider that got him on the inside corner. 2-2 on Gonzalez. Here's a pitch. Called strike three on a slider. Two down.
That was funky nasty.
Motion, the pitch, swing, and a miss. He struck him out. Just blew him away with a heater.
And now you can say it.
Longest start of his career.
There it is. It's official.
A 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. McGuire pumping his fist. Michael Kopech keeps the Yankees off the board and will go to the eighth.
Yeah, there's Len and DJ right here on ESPN 1000.
Noticed
game
also
two.
That Kopech, they gave him, what, an extra day's rest?
Yes,
and
they did.
And he saw his velocity was right back up where it needed to be. Maybe this is a scenario, I think one of you guys were talking about in the pre-show fist fight. When Lance Lynn comes back, they find themselves, if Cueto's still dealing a little bit, it doesn't have to be dominant the way he has. You may find yourself with the luxury of getting Kopech some rest, some extra rest in between starts.
Yeah, because you're not going to load up the innings. You don't want him to go into the postseason like Rodon last year.
Right.
Like, hopefully you'll be healthy enough in the regular season now with Cueto, and we will see what Keuchel you get, but how they're going to...
You can navigate
you
this differently.
More pitching. Gone are the days of having five guys, and even if they are healthy, just pitching them all 200 innings.
Right.
Like, you need to give them a
breather.
That's
what the Dodgers have done, too, right?
Yeah,
Haven't the Dodgers done that? They've got five, six, seven arms, and they take turns getting a little extra rest.
Absolutely, yes. So Michael Kopech on the crowd. This was in the post-game locker room. He got a one-on-one on SportsCenter, but this was after that. And he talked a little about Tim Anderson and the crowd.
I mean, I think that speaks huge to the character of Tim and what we're trying to be in this clubhouse. And that's a family. What's up, Ethan? And that's a family. And I mean, not to speak too much on that, but Tim's going to show up every day ready to play and lead this team. He did that again tonight. And, you know, I think that was just one of the cooler things I've seen watching an entire crowd as showing low class towards him, booing him, calling him Jackie and all that stuff, and then hitting a homer and putting us right back in a good position to win. I got nothing but respect for him.
Was that what you were talking about, the Yankee crowd?
Yeah, I mean,
calling
like, listen, I'm with you. You know, the booing is one thing. I think it's an ignorant line of whether it's ball busting or it's trying to have an inside joke. I just think it's the wrong place. It's the wrong thing in the wrong time in the wrong place.
Yeah. I don't know if he was referring to the crowd calling him. Like, maybe he was just saying the booing and calling him Jackie on Donaldson calling him Jackie. Did you guys hear chants of Jackie? I know they booed him, the crowd, but I don't know what
I think that'd be something tough to probably hear unless it was an entire stadium chant. But, I mean, it would not shock me if it was something that they heard. But the way that I interpreted from Kopech was that it was the crowd that was
saying it.
And then the Tim, I'm glad we did not compare notes on this, but it came up during the break. I thought it was weird that Tim Anderson wasn't in the starting lineup in game one. I know it's a doubleheader again, and we get into the territory where they were bickering with Ozzie and T.A. and La Russa. But, like, right after that moment, don't you just pencil him in and say, go get him, Tim?
I pencil him in not even because of that moment. I pencil him in because he's been your best hitter by far. At that point, before the first pitch was thrown in game one of that doubleheader, they were a game below 500. Like, Tim's going to get rest on Monday, and I'm probably exposing myself from criticism from the White Sox as well by saying you're going to rest on Monday. You're going to get rest on Friday as well. There's no game on Monday or Friday.
And you had Friday
off. He's your
off.
Best player.
And you had Friday off too.
Yeah, and let's face it, like you really haven't. You feel better about what they did winning both ends of the doubleheader, but leading into that doubleheader, White Sox fans were, I would think, pretty down on their squad. You were a game below 500. The Yankees, one of the best teams in all of Major League Baseball, had shown you the business for the most part. I just thought that that was a perfect time to play your best player in both games of your doubleheader. That's
his,
all.
His lineups still are weird to me. Whether it was the Tim Anderson thing or game one is when, didn't Lurie play shortstop in game one and batted second again?
Of course.
Like, what the hell? What is going on with that? How is, again, it's just simple math. If a game comes down to the wire and there's a chance that Lurie Garcia gets an extra at bat or Luis Robert gets an extra at bat or Abreu gets an extra at bat, why are you in a hurry to bring up? I don't get it. I don't understand it.
He is steadfast. Tony is with, there's a method to his quote unquote madness, and they're talking about keeping guys fresh. I just thought it was this point in the season, knowing that you had an off day Monday and Friday, I just was expecting that Tim was going to be in the lineup for both games.
332-3776. Pat in West Chicago, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Pat?
Hello, and first wanted to give condolences to Mr. Waddle on the passing of his father-in-law.
Thank you, Pat. Nice of you to say.
This often is lost in a social media world where character limits are a thing, but language is nuanced. Every word has a meaning. And the quote from Tim Anderson was, "I kind of feel like today's Jackie Robinson," end quote. He didn't say, "I am today's Jackie Robinson." I feel like there's a big difference there, because the context is he's talking about an emotion that he has, not some feeling of ego that you guys kind of touched on when this segment or the previous segment opened up. You know, he's not bragging.
Right.
He's just saying these are challenges I'm facing. So I think that's what the context that Donaldson missed and misinterpreted and all the things you guys said.
Pat, that's why I used the first word that came to mind to me was ignorant, for the reason you just mentioned. And Donaldson referenced the article, referenced the interview, but he was ignorant to the message.
Did you read one quote or did you read the whole article and how meaningful that is,
well,
that role that Tim Anderson wants to play?
I think when you listen to his comments, too, trying to defend himself in the postgame, you hear Josh Donaldson reference, and this is maybe where you say a little too much when you're trying to defend yourself, talking about joking around in the Atlanta clubhouse. Why were you guys joking around about it, right? Think about that.
I think he was also referencing, wasn't he, that he had joked around with Tim about this.
Then he also said joking in Atlanta.
I'd be interested to talk to Tim and ask him, hey, is this something new or is this something that has, you and Donaldson have crossed paths and this was something that, you know, he broached then as well.
This is Donaldson, remember, from last year, too. Like, again, this is a guy who they labeled a pest. This is a guy who's had numerous run-ins with the White Sox and his own team, too. But this was last year when he was talking about fighting Giolito in the parking lot.
He didn't have really much to say. You know, he said that he thought it was annoying. I said, so what? I'm on the opposing team. What do you care about me? And I said, I'm in your face. I'm telling you what I think. What do you got to say about that? And he didn't have any response.
There you go. He's in his face. This is what this guy does.
It's one thing, too, though, to address that issue and be like an irritant. That's an entirely different conversation than this incident with Tim. Like,
well, of course, but it's benefit of the doubt, too. You know what I mean?
True.
Like when a lot of people say, well, give him the benefit of the doubt. He didn't mean anything by it. No, I mean, he hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt in any regard. He's the opposite of that. He is a guy who's looking for confrontation.
Whatever his intentions were, it was an ignorant approach, in my opinion.
Stan on the south side, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Stan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're good.
Okay. Waddle, you got my condolences for your father-in-law.
Thank you, Stan.
Just wanted to say that first.
Thank you.
Okay. I just think the media today is wasting too much time with this. This here is something, it's not even a big deal. Okay, these are two MLB players that apparently they don't like each other. Okay, so anything that's out in the air that was said or on social media is fair shot. I don't think the guy was trying to be racial towards Tim Anderson or anything like that. I think he just was joking around. I think he was saying something that he thought would get under Tim Anderson's skin, and it had no racial content or nothing to it at all. Okay, we as black people, this is something that's not even on our radar. We aren't even discussing this. I think white people on TV today are discussing it more than black people. We don't care about this. This is something small and minute that two MLB players are just going back and forth with each other, and I don't think it had nothing to do with race.
Stan, don't you think that Tim Anderson expressed himself in a way that he was taking this in a very serious way?
Yes, I think he was, but Tim Anderson is all – I'm a Cubs fan, and I watch the White Sox, and Tim Anderson is always into something. He's always getting into it with other players on other teams. He's always in the middle of something. He has issues, too. Tim Anderson is no different than the other guy, almost. They both are little irritants, okay? I think they both are blowing it. I think Tim Anderson is blowing this out of proportion so he can get some sympathy. And I really think this is nothing, and this is nothing for black people. We got bigger fish to fry than this. All right, guys, thank you. Have a good day.
Stan Wright, 312-332-3776. By the way, did you see this on Josh Donaldson?
Yes.
We're waiting word. I know, it's very convenient. We're waiting word on a possible suspension, and Josh Donaldson has been placed on the COVID injured list.
You can't write some of this stuff. It just writes itself, doesn't it? Listen, I'm not going to try to convince anybody on how they should feel about this.
Right.
I'm just telling you from my perspective, the first thought that came to my mind was like, wow, that's kind of an ignorant, not even kind of, that's an ignorant response by Josh Donaldson to reference an article that wasn't representative of Tim telling you that he was going to dominate the stat sheet with home runs and RBIs and was going to put together a performance like Jackie Robinson. It was just like, it was, why are you going there? What leads
There's
you
no
there?
No need, no.
Like, it's such an, and not just that, but it was an ignorant take. He wasn't even accurate with regard to the message that Tim was trying to get across to people.
Brian in Racine, Wisconsin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. I just think that last caller was spot on, and being he's an African-American, I think some people got to open their eyes to that. I think the White Sox, why is it always seen that the White Sox are the team that gets involved in stuff like this? It's okay for Josh Donaldson to be a villain. It's okay for teams and players, rivalries, and obviously Donaldson's played in the American League, had numerous teams over the years with the White Sox, so they don't like each other. So, Tom Waddle, you're telling me on the football field, I'm not trying, I guess I'm, maybe it's not the greatest example, but you don't think on all surfaces of sports, there's a hell of a lot worse things said between players?
I'm sure there are.
He was giving him a jab. And again, I think the previous caller was right by saying African-American community, that they look at this like it's not even a thing.
I don't know if that's true.
I think Tim thought it was something. I think Tim Anderson thought it was something.
But I think the white media jumps on any possible chance and an opportunity to get on the other side, as if you're saying, look at us, we're trying to stick up for them.
Just wanting to live in a better world?
Brian, this is front of brain, too. Like, this occurred this weekend. We weren't on until Monday, so we are addressing the issue. I would bet you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there won't be a whole lot of conversation about this unless something new comes of it. I don't have a problem with a guy being an irritant, but there are certain lines you don't cross. In my humble opinion, Brian, like, you may put that line somewhere else. What I'm saying to you is if he's busting balls with Lucas Giolito about sticky stuff, like, that's just him being an irritant. When you misrepresent something, and you take it
again,
in this direction.
I think you guys, yourself, Sylvie and you, Tom, both basically answered your own question in the last couple segments by saying Josh Donaldson is an irritant. He knows what he's doing. He's trying to get under the skin. So that's why it's just funny to me that this comes as such a huge surprise to the Sox fan base and the baseball world in general. This goes on all the time.
No, not with the racial undertones. This is a huge story in America today, week to week, with all the hate going on. Don't you want to be better? Don't you want to learn and understand, like, what's right and what's wrong, even without intent, and learn from other people and say, look, Look, I said this 10 years ago, but now we've got to advance it. We've got to be better. We've got to clean our act up.
I get it, and I'm all for that, and I agree with you. All I'm saying is I think it's getting blown out of proportion because I think this happens more than you think, and a lot of it's not brought up. Not saying that that's right. I'm just saying this story has got legs because I just think the media is blowing it out of proportion.
I would be interested to ask Tim if anybody else in his time in Major League Baseball, especially since the article, when did the article come out, 2019?
2019, I'll send it out.
Whether or not he is, anybody else has ever, outside of his inner sanctum.
Read what he says about how he feels alone, about how he feels isolated, about how he feels like if he wants to see someone who looks like him and talks like him, the only chance he gets is by looking in the mirror because there's not a lot of them in Major League Baseball. And it's all about that. I mean, it's an important thing for Tim Anderson. This isn't an important thing for the media. It should be brought to the forefront. The only way we get better is by talking and saying, look, this is an issue. There are things that were brought up to me that I never knew were issues till the last year or two, and people, I learned from them.
That's why I called it ignorant, because I don't think that this is a ball-busting topic. What I mean? Like, you want to bust Giolito's balls about certain stuff. You want to do different things. Like, okay, that's in a different category. This wasn't... I don't think this was the right path to take.
Meller, what were you going to say?
Well, and another reason why it's at the forefront is because Josh Donaldson's comments led to benches clearing.
Correct. Yeah,
like, yeah. You know, if in the post game, you know, there's some reporter prying and then Tim Anderson and Tony La Russa offered up without any incident in the game, maybe you could have a discussion about people looking for excuses.
Tony brought it up first.
It was on the field, a benches clearing situation.
Tony spoke first. He brought it up, and then Tim Anderson. Tony on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tony?
Thank you. Thank you guys for taking my call. Sure. The two previous callers, the one from the South Side and the other guy that called right after him, I do not disagree totally what they said. Just because that guy was saying that he's an African-American, that had racial overtones because of all the things that Jackie Robinson went through and certain incidents in America right now. This kid went and shot 13 people. He killed 10 black persons. Are you going to tell me that comment that he made wasn't racially overtoned? Come on. Let's be serious. Why did Anderson react to that? It wasn't a friendly comment. It had something to do with racism. And that's plain and simple.
Tony, thank
you. Let's wake up. Garbage.
I think when someone calls in, like a caller did two calls ago, and generalizes saying, I'm speaking for this group, I don't think you can say that. I don't think you know what everyone's saying.
I think Josh Donaldson misrepresented the article and the interview that he was referencing. It was an ignorant reference to something that he got wrong.
Patrick in D.C., you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I had to hop in. It's just outrageous. Like, other callers are saying that they understand as a white person what a black person feels like. I am white. I don't understand that. And just to call someone Jackie Robinson and have no relationship with the person, it's racist. I mean, it's just point blank. I'll leave it at that and listen in. Love you guys.
Thank you, Patrick. There's Patrick. Let's go to Ted and Berwyn. Ted, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
First of all, I want to say thank you so much for having this conversation. I appreciate that. And I wish we had had this conversation and had it more in depth when the situation, a similar situation, but from a fan to a player, when it happened with Carl Edwards, the picture of the Chicago Cubs. And all my favorite team did was they got rid of Carl Edwards instead of addressing the issue and making African-Americans feel more comfortable. Was that his name, Sylvie? Carl Edwards, the reliever for the Cubs. Was that his name?
Yes, you're exactly right.
And that's what happened. All we did was traded the guy, and we didn't make the team feel more inclusive to all people. And there are things like that that make African Americans don't feel comfortable even being in that space. Let me address the article that you guys were referencing and some of the things that he was talking about feeling alone and isolated. There's a reason why there's a couple of reasons why African Americans don't play the sport. They like the sport, they love the sport, but no one wants to go to these small all white towns to play minor league ball, and people are doing racist things when you're a better ball player and they play other kids over you, and you have to go through all of that stuff for 5 and 6 years, when you could play basketball in your own city, Detroit, L.A., and Chicago, and Philly. You're really good at it. You play all through high school, and you go straight to the pros, 1 year of college. So you don't deal with that racial stuff in these other small towns. And that's my take on it. I definitely think the gentleman, with the ball player, was racist with his remark.
Thank you. We appreciate your call. And I think it's important to bring this up. I think it was important to Tim Anderson to bring it up.
I think
this
Major League,
not a media creation.
I think Major League Baseball is also having conversations about this right now as well.
So we'll continue to talk about this. We got some Bears stuff too coming up. Justin Fields addressing the Bears culture internally and if it's different now compared to a year ago. But we'll lighten the mood a little bit here with Waddle's World coming up.
Oh, do we have an update on something that happens every year at this time?
There's nothing like a good Waddle's World story update continually. Waddle will give you that coming up next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends and partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. This is a wonderful time of year for a lot of reasons. The weather's getting better. An opportunity to go out and play some golf. The baseball season's starting to heat up. We got OTAs. And, of course, you know, this is also the time of the year where the event down in Galveston County, Texas, occurs in the Boulevard Peninsula.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Yeah, the Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
I missed that reporter. Like, that is radio voice, television voice 101 when you go to college. Give me a little of that again.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Yeah.
And the report from, this had to be 2 years ago, right? A couple of years ago.
Yeah. It was fresh after the COVID lockdowns were being lifted.
It was very upbeat. Like, you know, I know there's a serious tone here, but for the most part, you know, kids are partying.
Well, it's a slice of normalcy. It's a little slice of normalcy in the middle or right at the start of it.
Yeah, let's get our party on.
Wash them hands for 20 seconds.
Call Gravy Baby.
And keep them clean with their Germex.
We're just going to come down to the beach with our Jeeps, and we're going to take the tops down and maybe take some tops off, and we're just
gonna, topless Jeep Weekend.
You know, listen, you got to be careful because if you do break the laws, they've got some spots to put you in.
Now, is this when you
start acting silly? We've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
Yeah,
that guy's not messing around.
The most part, when we first brought you the story, there was a lot of celebration and fun and good times.
Do you have to drive a Jeep? Or a convertible Jeep? Is that, like, are these for people who have convertible Jeeps?
Something tells me there's several people there that probably cut off.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend. If you got a Jeep, the Jeep can be topless. You can be topless.
Could I bring my RAV4 down to...
No, they're not letting me in because
I'm driving a different...
I don't think you're going to get in the parade line with your RAV4.
I'm just thinking, there are certain Jeeps that probably don't get let in. It's probably regular or bust here.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe there's some Jeeps that... My guess is, too, that they've probably had some hard tops that have been cut off by drunken people
Just to get in. You're right. I think...
I thought this was for all Jeep owners. Nope, just convertibles. Well, let me cut the top of my Jeep off right here. I got a saw in the back.
What's better than beach and a few drinks and Jeeps? Make any better than that.
Yo! Yes!
I'm all gravy, baby.
Yes, like, so this was our favorite, one of our favorite stories from a couple of years ago. I hate to tell you, but it's become a more serious situation down there right now.
No one's being locked down
anymore. It's not all gravy, baby.
Well, they came out in
droves.
They're
not all gravy, baby.
Yeah. Well, I believe that there's a more kind of dire tone for this year's. What is it again? I want to make sure that we
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Yes, there you go. Thank Topless you. I Jeep love that guy. Weekend. I don't think the same guy. Listen to the report for this year's event. You don't have the same gusto and fun in the voice and the description of what transpired.
Now to this chaos during Go Topless Jeep chaos. Weekend on the Bolivar Peninsula. The annual party again attracted tens of thousands of rowdy revelers. Ooh. It ended with several people hospitalized and dozens behind bars. Brittany Ford reports.
This is a look at the chaos that unfolded Saturday at the Jeep Go Topless event in Crystal Beach.
She went to the
people
same school.
People describing it as.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was crazy.
Deputies say they responded to multiple assaults, fights, and DWIs, with more than 100 arrests reported on the peninsula over the weekend.
Not surprised. I heard one guy told me that he saw a guy get in a fight right in front of him. And he was, like, bleeding on the ground.
We happened upon a group of underage drinkers that they got.
The Galveston County Sheriff's Office says there was a significant increase in the crowds at this year's event that brings out Jeep enthusiasts from all over. An overwhelming call for services forcing the department to request help from outside agencies.
Montgomery County, the health district there, from Cyfair Fire Department.
Hundreds of Jeeps lined up to board the Galveston Ferry Sunday morning.
No RAV force.
Those who stuck around had this to say.
It just sucks that, you know, people have to come out and act a fool and leave trash everywhere. Like, that's not what it's about.
Is that the same
Brittany
girl who's just down?
KHOU 11 News.
Totally.
Was that her
different
2 years later?
No. I wish, but no, it was not.
No, like, listen, 2 years, what a difference 2 years makes.
Well, let's think about this, too. Who brainstorms? You know what? I got a great idea for a great festival. Let's all get in our cars and drink a bunch.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Like they said, there was a bunch of DWIs. You think?
We've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
Yeah, a whole lot of empty holes.
Not listen, anymore. They're all filled just, now.
It was fights, assaults, and DWIs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like what?
They weren't worried about those 2 years
bring
ago.
Bring your car and
your booze.
Let's party. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
the tone.
They keep them clean with their germ eggs.
No.
Like, the tone has changed.
It has changed. Woo! They weren't ready for it this year.
Been in quarantine, and, like, I need to get out and party.
Yeah, woo! They're all out now.
What has changed, though? Like, I know that.
We happened upon a group of underage drinkers.
You don't say.
The underage drinkers were there 2 years ago, and you were all high-fiving.
Woo!
Well, we were high-fiving. I don't
totally.
Know if they were ever high-fiving.
Before, the police officers were just warning people that
when
if
you start acting silly, we've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
And this year, like, what they're telling you is, oh, we filled those empty holes.
Yes.
With we'll a bunch of fights, assaults, and DWIs.
The tone of the report was down, but so were the arrests. There were just barely over 100 arrests made. That one in 2020, over 200 arrests
what
made.
What are we doing? Why
are you saying we made progress this year?
We said there were more people this year, too.
There's only 100 people that were incarcerated for nonsense. Back 2 years ago, when it was all gravy, baby, there was like 200 people in those
holes. Well, we should.
Then I'm all gravy, baby.
KHOU, is that the credit there?
That's from this year, correct.
Yes, they should.
KHFU is, yeah, right?
See, the report from 2 years ago was 12 News Now. Yeah. Maybe it's just a positive spin that you need to put on it.
Well, Brittany Ford was not nearly, as a reporter, was not nearly as exciting as
Brittany Ford's
the
like
man
the,
from 2 years ago.
That was Jordan James.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
I want
just
him
sucks
there.
That, you know, yes. People have to come out and act a fool and leave trash everywhere. Yeah. Like, that's not what it's about.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly what it's all about. It's what it's always been about.
Wash them hands for 20 seconds and keep them clean with the Germex. Totally.
It was pretty crazy. It was crazy.
I'm down about this.
Yeah, so you're upset. We've been waiting for the update in 2022, and it wasn't what you were expecting.
No, I'm down. Speaking of updates, Tyler, this just came out.
Yeah, this is coming in from Jesse Rogers right here. Josh Donaldson is getting a one-game suspension and is also getting fined. He will be appealing both.
And he's been placed on the COVID injured list as well. I believe that was reported earlier.
Yes. So that obviously will be different. So he's appealing this.
Like
as Jesse mentioned.
I thought that Major League Baseball would want to address this sooner rather than later.
I texted Jeff Passan because we wanted to get Passan on today. He said, I would have loved to. I'm flying to New York. And so I followed up with Passan with him and said, hey, do you think there's going to be a Donaldson ruling today? He goes, I hope it's not while I'm flying to New York. But since I'm flying to New York, I bet it will be while I'm flying to New York. So he was right.
Yeah.
The ruling is a one-game suspension.
Yes. So
Like Tim Anderson, remember, in 2019, part of the article that I tweeted out from Sports Illustrated is about, remember, with the Royals? Tim Anderson got suspended one game for language as well.
Yes.
So that's the precedent was set.
Not sure that I mean, surprised at all. I don't believe his appeal it'll be heard. I don't think it'll be accepted.
Yeah, no, that's not.
I think Major League Baseball would like for him to serve his suspension, pay his fine, and stop acting foolish. I think that's what they would like from him. A little sports-a-roon news. Justin Thomas, obviously, I don't know how much you watch the PGA Championship. I had things going on. I wasn't able to stay glued to my television. But I'd be interested to see what the television ratings are. But Justin Thomas came from seven shots back yesterday, got into a three-hole playoff, and then birdied two of the three playoff holes to win his second PGA Championship. He shot 67.
We had a choke job on the 18th hole, didn't we?
We did. We had a choke job.
What was the name of the leader who...
Mito Pereira, right?
Yeah, he had a...
Shot 75 on the day.
Wayward drive on 18.
Did it make you feel like Jean Vandeveld back in the British Open days of years gone by?
There will never be, I don't think. Like, that was multiple shots, wasn't it?
Yeah, with his pants rolled up and he was standing in the water. Yeah, that was hard to watch.
What would you do? Like, he hit the driver off the tee, didn't he, Pereira? Like, wouldn't you have just made sure you hit a nice shot right down the fairway?
Yeah, two-shot lead going into the final tee shot. Yeah, I probably would have played a little more cautious, but he did not do so. Also, there is some basketball news for you. Tyler Hero is out for Game 4. Tonight's Game 4, Heat and Celtics. Jimmy Butler is going to go through warm-ups and he's trying to play in the game. He's had some knee inflammation. They'll make a decision before tip, but Jimmy Butler is still questionable for this game.
I want a good game.
As do I.
We're in a drought. We're in a little bit of an NBA playoff drought where the games have not been. I mean, yesterday Dallas had a chance and they cut it to five down the stretch, but these games haven't been like the first two rounds where we just got one great game after another.
By the way, the injury update brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Don't let COVID-19 sideline you this season. Rush encourages everyone to get vaccinated, wear a mask, and don't delay your care in person or virtually. Rush is here for you. Visit rush.edu. Meller, do you have anything you'd like to tell the folks about the Stanley Cup playoffs? Any action this weekend that caught your eye or your ear?
So the Avalanche are up 2-1.
That's my pick to win it all, by the way. I just want to remind everybody.
And I will tell you that the Oilers-Flames game have been going over. That has been very profitable for some folks out there. But and yes, the Lightning have a chance to close out the Florida Panthers tonight. They are up 3-0 right now.
They went quickly from the brink in the last round to being dominant again.
Yes, you are. And without one of their better players in Braden Point, who has not played in this series yet due to injury. And the Blues did lose their goalie, too, over the weekend because of a collision by Kadri on the
knocked
abs.
His helmet off, didn't he? His mask and his helmet knocked
yes,
it all
and,
off.
And Jordan Binnington is not going to play for the rest of the series for the Blues.
They're
so they are
dirty,
in some
dirty
trouble.
Hockey going on there.
You don't like dirty hockey.
Well, how could you like dirty hockey? It's not all gravy, baby, when it's dirty hockey. That's really all I got for you. When we come back, I do have some nonsense for you. And, of course, a little something we like to call Florida or Ohio. That's next.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida or Ohio is brought to you by Stephen Marte, attorney at law. Naked man puts up a fight over trespassing at McDonald's and bites cop and nurse. A naked man was arrested after police tried to remove him from a McDonald's parking lot early Thursday morning.
He was naked in the parking lot.
Naked in the parking lot.
Okay. Not afraid. He was naked in the parking lot.
An employee of McDonald's called police after spotting the naked man in the parking lot, identified as 33-year-old Jason Perez. He appeared to be high on narcotics and incoherently speaking.
Shocking.
Perez told officers that he needed to retrace his steps to find his clothes and refused to leave the location. A struggle ensued after officers could get Perez into the patrol car.
This is where you need Adam Abdallah, drunk Adam Abdallah, playing the role of the drunken guy with no clothes on.
He does do the voice of the drunk very well.
Perez was restrained in a hospital bed and defecated on himself once at the hospital.
Man, that just went from 0 to 60.
Yeah.
He was transported to the county jail, at which point investigators learned that Perez tossed a fire extinguisher through a laundry room window at a housing complex earlier in the morning.
This has a little bit of everything in there.
That's some crazy. I have been way off my game. I think I have guessed incorrectly the last three times.
This is Florida. I go to Florida wherever there is biting involved.
Excuse me?
I mentioned this a week or two ago. The bath salt craze, wasn't that a big thing in Florida back in the day where people were eating other people?
What?
Google it. Yeah.
What do you mean?
No, Sylvie's right.
TV show.
The bath salt craze. Yes. Yeah. They would eat people's faces off after being high on bath salts. Yeah.
Really? It's like eating bath salts.
Yeah. A somewhat common side effect.
Yeah, and then
biting someone's face.
So if you have bath salts,
bite.
Just hunger.
Hard. I never quote that movie, but you've quoted it so much, isn't it? Yeah.
This definitely sounds like Florida crazy. I mean, plus you get naked, and you're in a parking lot. I'll go with Tampa. I mean, I think it's, you know, if all else fails, go to Tampa.
Let's make it a clean sweep. I'll go Florida as well.
You gentlemen are correct. Leesburg, Florida.
Yeah, there you go. It's not all gravy, baby. Especially if you're the one who has to clean up after that fool.
Yeah, I think that was pretty.
Wash them hands for 20 seconds.
Right. More than 20 seconds.
He's got to wash yourself.
That butthole. What? But he's got to. Can I say that?
What? Yeah. What?
I think it's.
That's it, not the hands. Didn't he crapped himself.
In the hospital bed, yeah.
Did he just go with that, like.
I can say that. Yeah,
he just went there.
By the way, Florida or Ohio, brought to you by Stephen Marte, attorney at law.
That's new. I don't think we've ever said that phrase or that word on this. Is that a hyphenated word?
No, it's one.
Is that one
Isn't
word?
Isn't it?
One word. Yeah.
Are you sure?
It might be two words.
No. Is it two words, one word, or a hyphenated word?
I don't think
word?
It's hyphenated.
No, it's definitely not hyphenated.
It's either one B-U-T-T-H-O-L-E. Word or two words.
T-T-H-O-L-E.
You can't. Well, if you could say it, you could spell it.
Yeah.
I think it's one word. Is it one word? Well, did you just Google it?
If you use the other term, is it hyphenated? No, it's one word.
That's good true. It's a really good point. I've got a story here that
Neller
I think
wins the day with that.
I think that this is a story.
Grammar's my strong suit.
this is a story that I think sits most wrong with you. Do you know where I'm going?
Yes, it has to be doing something bad to someone's food.
Okay. See,
felony.
It's
lock them up.
Fired Arby's manager admits to urinating at least twice in the milkshake mix, police say.
That's a 10-year sentence as far as I'm concerned.
Does the time fit the crime, you think?
Yes. Think how evil you have to be to do that.
Let's go to Vancouver, Washington.
All I want is a delicious milkshake. Sometimes people splurge and they're like, this is a good cheat thing. I'm trying to watch myself. You know what I want? I want one of those Jamocha shakes from Arby's. It's what my mom used to have all the time.
Urine-free.
The coffee-flavored shake. Their chocolate. Arby's, years and years, had the best shakes around. And like, you hype it up. You're like, we're going to Arby's. We're going to get a great milk. And then you got the manager over here taking a leak in it.
An Arby's. Maybe that was the secret ingredient.
There's special sauce.
So why you liked it all those years.
That's not the Arby's sauce. No, that's something different.
An Arby's manager in Vancouver, Washington, admitted to police that he urinated twice in the restaurant's milkshake mix, and now police want to get in touch with customers.
Not once. Twice. Now, what were they looking to do with the customers? They want to see if they had pee shakes? Hey, have you, did you have a shake that didn't taste exactly like chocolate?
Would you rather not know?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm with you guys, yeah.
Really?
I'd rather not be tracked down.
You don't want to know that.
Mr. Silverman, we have you on videotape. You walked into the Arby's at 9 p.m. You bought yourself one of the double roast beef sandwiches and a giant milkshake. I want to let you know that the manager pissed in it.
We regret to inform you that the manager peed in your milkshake. That's not a call you want to get. Would you want to know? Well, yeah, you're bad at dessert, as we all know. You would never go anywhere for milkshake.
Yeah, but I don't prioritize dessert, so.
I feel like, Sylvie, you wanted a long jail term for the person who does that.
Yes.
I want, like, a large fine. Like, $100K. I'm not so worried about the jail time. No, I want a large fine.
I think that the jail time serves as a greater deterrent than the fine.
Yeah.
Like,
a large fine, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can spend time in your own house trying to come up with ways to pay that fine. If you're spending time in the big house,
maybe a little bit of both. Maybe, I don't know, 10 years seems excessive, but I think 100K.
Forgot to bring this story to you back on Mother's Day. Northeast Philadelphia Catholic school accidentally sold Mother's Day flowers stuffed with thongs.
Are you sure an accident?
Somehow, a Catholic grade school in far northeast Philly managed to put together a Mother's Day flower sale that included lingerie stuffed into faux roses. St. Anselm School, which serves about 250 students from pre-K through the 8th grade, mistakenly sold fake roses that had red thongs folded inside the flowers.
The thongs, thong, thong, thong.
One St. Anselm family shared the discovery on social media, and the mom and dad didn't seem to be too upset by it.
Yeah, hey, introduce it.
School officials explained that the roses were purchased under the impression that they were suitable for Mother's Day. The school didn't realize they were frisky Valentine's Day gifts, officially and obviously intended for adults, and not ideal for an elementary school, let alone Catholic school.
That's pretty good. That's less evil than the milkshake story.
And I will leave you with the headline for this story and send you to the interweb to find out the details. Woman discovered she had a second tiny vagina while in labor. Back to you.
He waited the whole Waddles World
just
for that.
Just go to the internet and figure it out.
You waited the whole time for
figure
that?
Figure it out.
Not on a company computer, though.
Waddles officially back. He's officially back with that story.
Woman discovered she had second tiny vagina while in labor.
We've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
Ooh, I don't know that you want to cross-reference those. Yeah.
Coming up next, the penalty has been sent out to Josh Donaldson. And we will tell you what Justin Fields is saying about last year's Bears culture compared to this year's. It's interesting. It's all next.